Welcome to This Is Your Life with Michael Hyatt, where our goal is to help you win at work and succeed at life. My name is Michelle Cachat. I'm your co-host, and joining me in the conversation today is not one, but two very special people. We have Michael Hyatt and Daniel Harkavy. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hey, Michelle.
Michelle, nice to be with you.
This is a very special episode today because we are talking about all things life plan. In fact, you both have a brand new book that releases on March 1st. Some of you are listening in after that release date. Some of you are listening in before. But the good news is I have these two gentlemen together in the same figurative room. And we're going to answer so many of your questions about living forward, life plan. Now, before we get started in the content today, I just want to say that I've been looking so forward to having you both together, months, in fact, not just because of the book, but because of the subject of the conversation. Probably more than ever before in my life, I am more convinced that we must live intentionally, that this life is a gift. And it's one that could end at any point in time, and that you and I, we have to steward that to the very best of our ability, that we don't have to live satisfied or unsatisfied, that we can actually pursue the life that we really want. Now, Michael, from the moment that I first met you, I think 7 years ago, I have heard you talk about life plan. This has been a burning passion, a kind of like a core message for you personally as well as professionally. And I'm guessing that that theme in your life has come as a result of some kind of story.
Yes, indeed. So what happened to me was back in the year 2000, I suddenly found myself in a position of being a general manager over one of Thomas Nelson's 14 divisions. And long story short, I've told it many times on my podcast, so I won't go over that again. But long story short is I and my team worked very hard, long hours, weekends, to turn that division around. And in 18 months, we were able to do it. But at the expense of my health, my sense of balance, some ways my most important relationships, and I knew that it wasn't sustainable. So I had the privilege when I was at Thomas Nelson of publishing John Maxwell. And John had become by that time a mentor to me. And I went to John and I said, look, John, I need an executive coach. I need somebody that can hold me accountable, that can help me figure out how to come up with a better design for my life. And so John, without even thinking about it, without hesitation, he said, you've got to meet Daniel Harkavy. And so he said, I'm going to be speaking. It was at an event in Nashville, Tennessee. So I went, I heard John speak, and then John brought up Daniel. Daniel spoke about his coaching program at Building Champions, which is his coaching company, buildingchampions.com. And from that moment forward, I was able to persuade him, pay him an extremely large amount of money, and not really, it was very reasonable, but I was able to persuade him to be my coach. And so Daniel was the first person that introduced me to the concept of life planning. And everything changed, not immediately, but pretty darn fast. Once I got clarity about what I wanted in every area of my life, then things began to really change.
Well, I think for many people, that whole change with becoming more intentional about how you want to live your life and what you want your life to look like, it comes as the result of some inciting incident, something precipitated it. But the reason that we're having this conversation today, and really the whole purpose behind you writing this book, again, the book is called Living Forward, A Proven Plan to Stop Drifting and Get the Life You Want, is so that you don't have to wait for a catastrophe in order to make this happen. We can do it right now. So now I'm going to turn the hot seat to Daniel, because I'm guessing for you too, Daniel, in fact, I read a little bit in the book of your story, that there was a precipitating event, some kind of situation that actually caused you to stop and rethink the way that you were living.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so my story is not that much different than Michael's, but I had a radical life change, which was really the genesis for Building Champions. And and the content of Living Forward. So mine was, I was in banking from age 20 to 30, and I had enjoyed a pretty successful 10-year period of time. So my career was growing. I had offices throughout the Western United States, and I also had a young family. And it was during this season where I realized that I was definitely drifting. I was pursuing just one or two areas of my life, and those were so important to me that I found myself at the age of 30 saying, if I stay on this path, if I stay in this current, I'm probably going to pay some pretty tremendous prices in other areas of my life that were most important. So I took a one-year sabbatical, and it was during that one-year sabbatical where I relocated from Southern California up here to Oregon. And during that one-year period of time, came up with the concept of Building Champions, a leadership and executive coaching company, where at the very foundation of what we do is we help leaders to improve how they lead themselves so that they can then better lead their organizations. So I experienced it in my own life, and I really look at that, we'll just call it real crisis in my own life that I think I dodged a more significant crisis, but it was a big decision for me. And one I look back on today with a whole bunch of gratitude, because for the last 20 years now, I've been able to work with leaders like Michael and thousands of others in some pretty meaningful and beautiful ways.
You know, you made an interesting comment about how that you had an incident or a situation that needed to change, but you actually prevented a far more serious or significant downfall. And I think that's an important point to make at this point, that drift, and we're going to talk about drift in a minute, is never static.
Right.
Drift gets worse and worse. It's cumulative. And
right.
So if we don't stop it today, if we decide to put it off for a year from now, there is cumulative damage and cumulative cost to pay over time, which is why I just want to remind our listeners that this conversation is of critical importance right now. You can't wait to have this conversation for a month from now or 2 years from now or 10 years from now. You can't, because the cost is too high and drift is always cumulative. So wherever you find yourself right now, first of all, I'm glad that you're listening. I'm glad you're here. I don't think that's an accident. But at least at this point, make a commitment that this is going to be a subject that you're going to explore with us today and not wait and put it off for tomorrow. So let's go ahead and dive into this whole conversation about life plan. And again, we're talking about the book, Living Forward, a proven plan to stop drifting and get the life you want. By the way, it's a beautiful book. I happen to get myself a really nice blue highlighter to go with the book, because it's all right. About brand and color and everything, right?
Awesome. I'm so impressed with that. I got to get a blue highlighter myself.
I actually have two blue highlighters, because being the achiever I am, one highlighter is never enough. And so let's just dive into the beginning of this conversation about life plan. In fact, it's so interesting. I highlighted the very first words in your book. I mean, that's kind of ridiculous. And it's not because I appreciate both of you, but I love the quote that you opened the book with. It's by John Pierpont, otherwise known as J.P. Morgan. And he said, the first step toward getting somewhere is to decide you're not going to stay where you are. The first step toward getting somewhere is to decide you're not going to stay where you are. How important to you personally, but then speak to our listeners, how important is that first decision in living forward?
Go ahead, Daniel. I'll let you take it.
Yeah, so I think it's of critical importance. Whenever you look at anybody who is living a life that you would love to emulate, whenever you see that people have marriages or families or health that you look at, and they're maybe 10, 20 years down the road, what you will oftentimes see is possibly a gap. And I think for all of us, we need to come to grips with the fact that we're in far more control than maybe we believe. And we have the ability and the power to change things. But if we don't gain clarity around what it is that we want at some point in the future, if we don't paint a better picture for what we would like our life to look like 10 years, 20 years down the road, and if we don't gain clarity around that, then chances are we won't allow that vision to have the pull power to cause us to transform our decision making and then our actions today. So you've got to have something out in the future that is worth sacrificing for. And it's compelling and it's clear and it draws you not just intellectually, but from a place of belief and conviction. So it's really important to make that decision. And
you make an excellent point when you say that we as a whole believe we have far more control than we have, actually have, that there's so much of our life that we can't control. However, this idea of life plan becomes like a rudder that steers us even when things get kind of chaotic.
Sure. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that oftentimes, and this is really good for you, who maybe this concept of life planning is brand new. Oftentimes people will get hemmed up because they think that life planning is putting so much structure to your life that you leave no room for all of the unpredictables. People getting sick, a job change, a change in parenting or marriage or some situation. And the truth is that your life plan is just, it's a document that it's dynamic and you're changing it all the time so that you can always react to whatever life situation you're in. So whatever life throws your way, you can adjust your life plan so that you can move through those seasons with intentionality and in a proactive nature. So I just want people to hear that. It's not overstructuring your life. It's actually just gaining clarity on what matters most. And then depending upon what life throws your way, you're making decisions so that you can add the most value to others no matter what season you're in.
Well, and that leads us very well into the next question. And Michael, I'm going to direct this question to you. You compare in the book Living Forward, you compare life plan to a GPS that helps you find your way when you're lost. And you tell a story about how GPS actually saved your neck once upon a time. So can you explain that metaphor a little bit more?
Yeah, well, just quickly tell you the story. I was at our mutual friend Ken Davis's cabin. You've been there many times. I've been there many times. And we are hiking up that mountain behind his house. And I was by myself. I had my GPS system on. But it was a path that I was very familiar with. But I went over a different footbridge. And then I went over another footbridge. And pretty soon I was far away from the normal path that I was on. And so then I decided to go back. I thought, well, I've had enough of this. I'm going to go back. But I took a wrong turn. And I ended up off the beaten path. And I had no idea where I was at. And I thought, great, I'm here by myself on the side of this mountain. I'm completely lost. I don't know how to get back where I was. And so I looked in on my phone. Fortunately, I had a signal, which is not always the case up there, as you know. And I had a signal, and I looked at my GPS, and it had my path because I was using a fitness tracker as I was out walking. So I was able to find my way back to the path. And I've thought so many times that that's a great metaphor for life planning. What if you could have a GPS for your life? And that's really what a life plan does. And I'm actually looking at the book here just for reference, but we talked about a GPS for your life. And I said, you know, one of the first things that you have to do with the GPS system for it to be effective is you have to plug in your destination. And it's true for life too. You know, it's like that old adage that says, if you don't know where you're going, any path will take you there. But with a GPS, you have to plug in a destination. And one of the things that a life plan does so well is that it helps you figure out what the destination is in every area of your life. I mean, what do you really want for your marriage? Or what do you want for your health? Or what do you want for your career or your most significant relationships? To get the clarity on that is like plugging in the GPS coordinates of the destination where you want to go. Also, a GPS helps you get there faster and with less hassle. So it doesn't mean that you won't run into roadblocks or that there won't be, you know, traffic or outages or reroutes. You know, that's true with the GPS. It's also true with the life plan. There are things that get thrown at us. You know, you had a big one last year, Michelle, something you wouldn't have planned on and couldn't have planned on. But with a life plan, you have the ability to navigate around that and get back on track. Another thing about GPS system is that it gives you constant feedback on your progress. I love that. You know, that it constantly lets me know where I am in relationship to where I want to be. And a life plan is like that as well. So I have this picture of what I want my marriage, for example, to ultimately be. And it gives me feedback of where I am in relationship to that destination. And one of the things I like about a GPS system is that when you get off track, The GPS system never chides you. You know, it doesn't have the voice that comes on and says, "You idiot, you turned left and I said right." You know, it doesn't do that. You know, it just says recalculating route. And then it puts you on a new path.
It's so great. I love that.
And a life plan is like that too. You know, it doesn't chide you. Doesn't shame you. It just says, "Hey, remember where we were going, where the destination was?" And it just gently leads us back on track. So in that sense, a GPS and a life plan are similar.
Yeah, that's such an excellent perspective, because as you mentioned with your hiking situation, you didn't intend to take a wrong turn. It just happened. And sometimes that's what happens with our lives too. It just happened. It's not intentional. It wasn't a personal failure. It wasn't some kind of character flaw. It just happened. And so to have a life plan that just gets you back on course without this big blanket of shame is such an important thing. Now, there's one additional question I'm going to ask you before we dive into the rest of our questions. And it's nothing that I prepared you for, so it's not scripted. So forgive me for putting you on the spot. But I think it's such a great question. I know you're shocked, Michael. I never do that to you. For those who are people of faith, how do we wrestle between or what's the intersection between life plan and God's plan? And do they coincide? Does one trump the other? Are they mutually exclusive, or do they go together? It's just a hard concept for those of us who operate from some kind of spiritual purpose to figure out how life plan fits into that.
I actually want Daniel to answer this one, but I do want to say, in the spirit of the GPS, a GPS system doesn't work unless you have a clear signal from above.
Ooh,
that was so okay. Props for that. Tons of props. That was quite a profound.
All right. So in the Hebrew scriptures, we're told that the plans of a man's heart are deep waters, but a man of understanding draws them out. And I've been asked this question for decades. The truth of the matter is that I believe we were all created with so much potential and so much opportunity, and our life is all about making a positive and significant difference in the lives of others. And I think that's how we live into our purpose. So what a life plan does is it enables you to identify every area of your life that you've been really given an opportunity to steward or to shepherd. And the life plan helps you to gain clarity around how you want to do that. So you're not getting in the way of your creator. You're not getting in the way of God's plan for your life. The way I see it is that I'm married, and the purpose in my marriage is to treat my wife in ways that cause her to be closer to her creator. So all this life plan does is it helps me to really think about who do I need to be, and then what do I need to do in order to do that? So I want to debunk that, because oftentimes people think, well, you know, if I put a life plan together, then I'm going to, you know, be getting in God's way. And I would just say, no, actually, I think the opposite is true. What you're doing is you're sitting and taking a look at the responsibility as well as the opportunity you have to make the most significant difference and live out your best version of you in the lives of everybody else. And that's the beauty of it. So I would say hand in hand, and I would say absolutely no conflict. None. We adjust to whatever happens, but we're called to be responsible planners and the wisest of decision makers.
So in a sense, we're not playing God. We're actually becoming more receptive to him when we do life plan.
Yeah, that's the way I see it. I see it as I've been given an opportunity as a father, as a husband, as a colleague, as a business professional, as a community member. And the life plan just gets me to really take a look at each of those areas and say, how do I bring the most value and my best me to all of those? And without a life plan, most of us will never give it thought. We'll just show up. We'll show up not knowing what's going on and giving our leftovers to those that I think deserve our best.
Mm-hmm. Well said, Daniel. I have one more question for you, Daniel, while you're talking. I'll go ahead and keep you right in the hot seat. You've spent years, as we've talked about, coaching all different kinds of people and executives, you know, honestly, a wide variety of people. It's not just one. When it comes to this idea of life plan, who do you picture as the ideal person for it? Is there a certain window of opportunity, age-wise or demographic-wise or gender-wise? Is there a certain ideal person for this or not?
I think that, and I think everyone should hear this, I think it's only for those who are breathing.
That narrows it down.
All right, a little tongue in cheek. But I this hit me about a week and a half ago. Originally, when we put the book proposal together, our agent, who was fantastic, thank you, Brian and Rick, they were helping us to identify the ideal demographic. And we worked to narrow it down. And about a week ago, I realized that the demographic is so much bigger than I think what we really originally thought. Because for the last 20 years, our company and people in the organization have given the life planning process away to kids as young as junior high. Now, I think that's a little young. I do. I'm not walking my junior high kids through that. Never did. But I think once you're hitting your junior and senior year, I think that life planning should be taught in every high school, and I think it should be in every university. Penn State right now is putting a whole curriculum around it. Props to Penn State and any other university that really wants to equip their graduates with a roadmap for how to be the best version of themselves so that they, out of that being, can then go do what they were designed to do. So I would say it starts with high school, and then I really see it being applicable for those who are entering their retirement years. I had the neatest experience, Michael. I don't know if I shared it with you or not, but my son, my younger son, who's 21, last week started reading the book, as did my dad. And, you know, my dad's 77 years old. So I've got a 21-year-old reading the book going, I've got to nail my life plan. And my dad, who's saying, we need this. And the truth of the matter is, when you look at any stage of life, if you want the years ahead to be the best yet, then this process can help you. So I really do see the demographic being high school all the way on up through your latter years.
Which, going back to your original comment, the point is, if you and I woke up breathing today, regardless of our age, we still have purpose.
Yeah.
And that means life plan still matters.
And opportunity. And opportunity. You know?
So true. So true. You don't even, you know, for those who are retired and they think that all they're doing every day is tending their garden and watching movies or whatever, and they think they're not doing anything significant, it couldn't be further from the truth. In many ways, they are freed up now for influence like never before.
Totally agree. Absolutely.
And if you're still here, you're here for a purpose.
Right.
So true. So true. Okay, Michael, your turn here. The beginning of the book talks a lot about the concept of drift. And so, and I already threw out that word at the beginning of this conversation, but for those who aren't familiar with this concept of drift, would you explain it and unpack it for us so we understand it in terms of life plan?
Sure. So Gail and I had been married about 10 years, and we decided to go on an anniversary vacation to Hawaii, to Maui in particular. We'd never been there before, and we were dirt poor. You know, we used all the miles that we had. We saved all the nickels we could gather, and we went there. But we didn't have any money for entertainment when we got there. But the hotel where we were staying, they were offering free snorkeling lessons. So we went out to the swimming pool. We learned the basics, and they took us out to the reef. We were blown away by the experience. You know, all the fish, multicolored fish that we were seeing, the reef itself, all of that was just amazing. So we found out that we could rent some snorkeling gear. I think it was about 10 bucks for the week per set. And we said, okay, we can afford that. So we rented the gear. The next morning at about 5 a.m., we got up. We went out to the lagoon that was next to the hotel, and it was unbelievable. Crystal clear, hardly a wave, and we just got face down in the water, and we were totally mesmerized by everything that we were seeing under the surface. It was like being an aquarium or being in a zoo and seeing all this stuff. Well, we weren't really paying attention. And unbeknownst to us, we got caught by a riptide. And the next time I looked up, we were, I don't know, maybe a mile and a half or so from the shore, completely carried out to sea. Fortunately, Gail was still with me. And we had a boogie board between us where we had, you know, we're putting shells up on it and stuff. And so we just, Gail got her head up and she said, oh my gosh, she was scared to death. She said, what are we going to do? And I said, let's grab onto this boogie board and let's swim like crazy for the shore. We weren't even smart enough to know that you're not supposed to swim against a riptide to get out of it. We just headed for the shore. Fortunately, after about 45 minutes of hard swimming, we pulled ourselves up onto the beach and collapsed. That's like the drift. You know, it wasn't that we intentionally did something dangerous. We were just caught up in all the life, all the distractions, all the stuff that was going on. And we got caught in this drift and ended up far away from where we intended to be. So many people go through that same kind of drift in their life. It's not that they set out to destroy their health or damage their most important relationships or screw up their career or get stuck. It's just that they drift. Mm-hmm. It's just the lack of a plan that leaves them far from a destination they would have chosen if they had been intentional about it. And that's the thing about the drift. Nobody ever drifted to a destination they would have chosen if they'd been conscious of it when they were doing the choosing. So that's the drift.
What I love about that particular story is that sometimes we think of a drift happening as a result of, you know, negative events. But in that case, drift happened because it was really good. You were enjoying yourself. And so for those who are experiencing great seasons of success, that can be a precipitating factor to drift as well.
It can. I really hadn't thought about that before, but that's really true. Absolutely.
Something to for all of us to keep our eye on. Well, before we continue with this episode, I have so many questions. I could sit and talk about this all day. However, before we continue with the rest of this episode, Michael, you've got something exciting to share, which we've already talked about a little bit, but tell us a little bit more.
Yeah. So the book is either out or about out, depending on when you're listening to this particular podcast. And I am super excited about the book. The great news about this book is that it's not very long. And Daniel and I were intentional about that. We said to one another at the very beginning, we want to write a book that facilitates action, because to just read the book and do nothing with it isn't going to help anybody. And so we wanted a book that clearly mapped out the process of creating your very own life plan and a process that would allow you to do it in a day. And that meant the book had to be really distilled and just have the essence of it. And that's what we did. Look at us all holding it up.
I'm getting good at using blab. Somebody said, hold the book up again. I like holding this up.
It's a beautiful book.
Thanks.
So anyway, it's available. You know, one of the great joys of my life is that we had 53 people endorse it. In fact, somebody was laughing the other day. They said, well, I sat down for my first session of reading your book and I got through the endorsements. But we had Seth Godin and Tony Robbins and Patrick Lencioni and Andy Andrews and John Eldridge and Andy Stanley and Max Licato and a bunch of folks endorse it, people from all over the spectrum, because I think they all recognize that it's important to live with intention. And that's what this book helps you do.
Absolutely, without a doubt. Again, it's called Living Forward, a Proven Plan to Stop Drifting and Get the Life You Want. If you are listening to this before the release, we strongly encourage you to go pre-order your copy. We're trying to get as many pre-orders as possible. It would be a huge help to us if you also happen to be a leader with a team. Can we suggest that maybe you buy that for your team? One of the best things you can do for the success of your organization is to teach your employees how to have a life plan. It would be probably the best money that you've spent in quite a while on your team. So again, Living Forward, if you pre-order the book right now, before the release date, if you happen to be listening then, there are $360 worth of bonuses available for you, absolutely free, just to thank you for being one of the people who pre-order. You can get more information about that at livingforwardbook.com. Again, livingforwardbook.com. All right, let's go back to today's episode. It's called Why You Need a Life Plan, a Proven Way to Avoid Wasting Your Life. And I have the wonderful privilege, I've been so excited about this, to talk to both Michael Hyatt and Daniel Harkavy about their brand new book, Living Forward. And so far, I have to tell you, the first 20 so minutes of this conversation have been incredible. I have learned so much already, and we still have more to unpack together. So before the break, we talked about drift, and we talked about basically what will happen if we do not live forward, if we do not create a life plan and live intentionally. And we also talked about how drift is not static. It's always cumulative, and it will exact a price regardless of how long we put it off. So both personally and professionally for both of you, You have included in Living Forward a section on the business benefits of life planning. All right. You also talked about the personal benefits. But for right now, I want to talk about more of what Living Forward looks like when you take a corporate implementation of it. What does it look like when Living Forward comes to play in your organization? So, Daniel, I assume, being that you do coaching all the time, that this isn't, that Living Forward, doing life plan, isn't just something you've done personally, but it's, I'm guessing it's a standard or a way you've led within your organization as well. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I'd love to. So for 20 years, we've been coaching business leaders to improve how they lead themselves and their teams so that they get better results in their organization. And as an executive coaching company, Building Champions is the team that CEOs will call in when they see building leadership capacity as a strategic advantage as well as a corporate responsibility. So the way that life planning has fit into coaching of these business leaders is that we start every single leader, just like I did with Michael some 13, 14 years ago, before we get into vision and strategy, before we get into planning and execution and team health and coaching and development, we always start with self-leadership. And for those who follow Building Champions and our teachings, you get sick of me saying it, but the truth is self-leadership always precedes team leadership. How we lead ourselves impacts the decisions we make and the influence we have. And decisions and influence will really determine our leadership legacy. So for the last 2 weeks, I've been with different business professionals. Last week, there were 30 high-level global leaders in an organization where for one entire day, all they worked on was their life plan. And then in the next 2 days, we got into leadership and business aspects of it. But this is common and typical. And what happens is when you're a leader who cares about the success of your teammates between the 9 and 5 hours, that's pretty common. But the extraordinary leader wants to see their people succeed between 5 and 9 as well. And what they realize is that when leaders start to plateau or when they start to get derailed corporately, professionally, 9 times out of 10, it's not because of a bad business plan. It's because something's gone wrong in their life. It's marital issues, parenting issues, health issues, financial issues. And it's because they weren't intentional in those areas that are so important. And it's a lie that we can compartmentalize our personal life and our professional life. We can't. Who I am as a business leader, it's impacted by who I am in every other area of my life. So life planning is a fantastic, fantastic culture and overall business performance strategy.
I can see how it wouldn't only enhance the camaraderie and culture in the team, but the more healthy people are in their overall life, the more productive and successful they are in their business life as well. So, I mean, it just really, I don't see how it wouldn't intersect with every area.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you look at it, when people are not focused in meetings, when people are not prepared for one-on-ones, oftentimes it's because they're dealing with regret or they're dealing with anxiety because they know they're not where they need to be or they ran out of the house before they were able to take care of what they wanted, or they're not going to make the soccer practice, or they didn't get their workout in. So when you put a life plan together, what it does is it enables you to allocate the appropriate amount of time to every area of your life so you can be more present in every area of your life, which ultimately will impact the decisions you make and the influence you have so that you're a more effective leader, a more effective corporate citizen. It's a great strategy. And we've got clients right now that are buying thousands of books. We've got CEOs who are making the investment, numerous organizations that are buying 1,000, 1,500, and they're giving it to all of their leaders or to all of their teammates because they want to see them live better life stories, not just be better employees.
Yeah, I can totally see that. It really is blowing my mind right now. And I've read the book, but hearing you talk about this, it's really blowing my mind right now. Just the wide reach of impact, the potential impact this could have on every facet of life.
Mm. Yeah. welcome to our
marriage.
We're sitting around.
Are you hiring, Daniel? That's what I want to know, because I'm so excited about this. I just want to know if you're hiring. But anyway, okay.
We're always hiring.
One other thing here, this actually transitions to my next question perfectly, because one of my favorite chapters in your book was talking about designing your legacy. And in that chapter, you tell the reader that we need to fast forward to the end of our life and ask ourselves this question: what will family, friends, and colleagues say when I'm dead? Now, that sounds very morbid. Not to me, it doesn't sound morbid, because I know the value of that question. But to so many people, the thought of even thinking about your mortality and the fact that this life will end at some point sounds negative or morbid. But you actually say it's necessary and empowering and a big piece of developing your life plan. Michael, you want to address this?
Yeah, you know, this is so important. I really believe in what Stephen Covey taught, and that is you need to start with the end in mind. And it's true when you're trying to accomplish a corporate initiative, you're taking on a new project, you're building a new product, launching a business. It's especially true with your life, your one and only life. But to push the fast forward button, go to the end of your life, and we walk you through an exercise where you formulate your eulogy. And so we talk specifically about visualizing who will be at your funeral, assuming that everybody that's now living is going to be present at your funeral. And the question is, what are they going to be saying about you when you're dead? Because the truth is, at every funeral you've ever attended, people are talking about the deceased, right? And I've been to unhappy funerals, and I've been to really happy, joyous celebration funerals. And I remember when my father-in-law passed. And he was such an amazing man. He was a colonel in the Air Force. He worked at the Pentagon. He was a great, great father to my wife. And when he died, you know, we spent 2 days literally going through photo albums, telling stories about the impact that he had had on us. And I thought to myself, as I went through that process, I thought, you know, this is how I want to be remembered. I want people talking about the kind of marriage I had, the kind of relationship I had with my kids, the impact that I made in the world. The really exciting thing is that once you begin to think about that, you can actually begin to influence those conversations beginning today. All you need is clarity. What do you want people to say about you when you're dead? And we have a very specific process in the book that we take you through to not only influence those conversations, but to write a literal eulogy and visualize how you want those people speaking about you before you're dead, while you can still do something about it. And it's one of three questions that we lead you through. And that's really what a life plan is it's answering three powerful questions that can really shape the future of your life.
This is really powerful. And the temptation is to skip over this part, because it's kind of hard to consider the fact that we are finite, and it's hard, but yet I can totally see how making ourselves do this small piece of this exercise really sets the tone for the rest of life plan.
It does. There's a quote that we begin that chapter 4 with from Steve Jobs. And this was from a commencement speech that he gave. I think it was at Stanford University, but he said, "All external expectations, all pride, all fear of embarrassment or failure, these things just fall away in the face of death, leaving only what is truly important." And Steve went on to say in that lecture that facing his own death, and he didn't know at this time when he was giving this lecture, amazingly, that he would be dead in a few short years. But he said facing death and coming to terms with what his life meant was the single most important exercise that he ever went through. And so we think this is going to be hugely impactful on people.
I so agree. I have one final question. It's hard to believe that our time is almost up. It's actually driving me crazy right now because there's so much more I want to talk about. But that's the beauty of the fact that we have it all in this fabulous book called Living Forward. So whatever we don't cover today, people can get the book and they can have more of it there. But this is one question that is based on one of my favorite quotes in the book. And it's this quote: "We fool ourselves if we think balance means giving equal attention to everything in our lives. Balance is giving not equal, but appropriate attention to each of the various categories. I think there's this this naive and false belief that balance is this state of equilibrium everywhere, and thus we're chronically disappointed and frustrated because we never seem to achieve this place, absolute peace and balance. And when I read that quote, Daniel, I thought that that was a much better definition, that balance is not giving equal but appropriate attention to each of the various categories. And I know you hinted at this earlier in one of your responses, but for those who are living, or for those who are listening right now who are desperate for balance, and I know there's a number of people that are hoping you have some kind of secret to balance, would you speak to this concept of what balance really is?
You bet. So I think what people are hoping for is not so much balance, but they're looking for connection, and they're looking for really maximum value, intimacy, presence in the areas of their life that are most important to them. And what they're realizing is that they're bankrupt in some of the areas that are most important to them. So what they want is they want the ability to be present. They want the ability to devote time to those areas. And here's what happens, and I've seen this now for going on 30 years. Most of us, we believe that if we devote the majority of our waking hours to our career or to our finances or maybe to our education, basically to areas of our life where we get immediate pats on the back, that at some point we will be better positioned to then take care of the other areas of our life and they'll wait for us. So we buy the lie that we can get to her tomorrow or to them tomorrow or to this next week. I just need to get through this season. And the truth of the matter is we need to tend to what matters most now. So when you put the life plan together, what you're not going to see is 6 hours at work and 6 hours with your family and 6 hours here. There's not that balance in really a wise life. A life lived, I believe, from a position of strength and wisdom is one where you are really intentional in how you invest your energy into the areas of your life that are truly the most meaningful and the most important. And it all connects back to what you two were talking about just a few minutes ago with regards to the eulogy. The reason that's so important is that if you don't engage your head and your heart into this life plan, you're not going to have the courage to make the tough decisions so that you're more present in the areas of your life that are most important. And you will continue to buy the lie that you can get to what's most important tomorrow, therefore being out of balance, so you believe. But really what you are is you're being deceived and you're neglecting areas of your life that matter most. And what we give you in Living Forward is a plan. And we're not saying it's the only plan. But what we're telling you is we've seen thousands and thousands of people go through this one process. And then as a result of that, live more proactive and intentional lives so that you feel balanced, you feel present, you feel like you're on track. And that's what it's all about.
Awesome.
So in short today, by the way, Daniel, that was an amazing insight and answer to a question that so many people have ongoing about the subject of balance.
Thank you.
So today we've been talking about living forward, a proven plan to stop drifting and get the life you want. In short, a life plan is not optional if you want to have a life of intention that looks like you want it to. It's just not optional. And the good news is that it can be as simple as getting this book and sitting down with pen and paper or a computer and walking through the process. That's as simple as it can be. It can change now. And as we opened with that quote, it starts with a decision that you don't want your life to continue as it is, that you want things to be different. So at the very least today, make that decision and move forward from there. Michael and Daniel, it's been a great privilege to have this conversation with you. And there's so much I would love to ask, but I will just go back and study my book.
Great.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Michelle.
Absolute pleasure. Absolute pleasure.
If you enjoyed today's episode, you can get the show notes and a full transcript at michaelhyatt.com. If you prefer to watch, you can join us live on Blab every Monday afternoon and listen in. But can you do us a favor today before you leave? If this is probably more important today than ever before. We just would love you to take a few seconds, head over to iTunes and rate this program. We really want to get the message about living forward out into as many hands as possible. You taking the time to rate us on iTunes really helps us to do that in a very practical way. Before we go, Michael, do you have any final thoughts?
Yeah, I would just say you've got a choice. You can either continue to drift through life, or you can be an active participant in the outcomes and begin to design your life. And it's all up to us. Nobody's going to force us. You know, it's something we have to choose for ourselves. But there's a better life ahead for each of us, and it begins with designing and stopping the drifting process.
Well, thank you again, Michael and Daniel. And thank you, listeners, for joining us today. Until next time, remember, your life, your one and only life, is a gift. Now go make it count.